We're joined now by Bruce Hershenson, the longtime commentator from California. For many years, he was a fixture on Los Angeles television doing nightly commentaries. And good morning, Bruce Hershenson.
Good morning to you, Jim, and thanks very much for that introduction.
Well, you served as a speechwriter to President Nixon, and some are saying that what President Trump is going through now is analogous to what President Nixon experienced in the early 70s. Is there any comparison?
A tremendous comparison in terms of the kinds of things that are being done against President Trump, which are what we used to call carbon copies of the kind of thing that President Nixon was charged with and kept on going and going and going until there was this tremendous, tremendous cloud over his administration, and he simply felt he had to resign. And as he said, and he put it in these words, this thing would be going on for a couple of years, and it'll involve every aspect of our government. Certainly the three branches of government, the executive, the legislative, meaning the Congress, and the courts. And he said, we just can't afford that. And he said, I know what Brezhnev would do. He'd take advantage of it. And I can't do anything. I'm powerless. Every day there's something. And he didn't even remember what the devil he had said on the tapes. And not so incidentally, the tapes were never exposed during that period of time for having been done from everyone to the wire recorders of President FDR all the way to Richard Nixon with the tape. But there have been. Now you can buy books, Kennedy's tapes, Johnson's tapes. But look, I don't want to get way off on a different subject because of this, but I just want to mention it. There wasn't any former president alive at the time of Watergate. I am convinced that if there was a president living, a former president living, they would have supported the president because they knew what they did. What bothers me the most is that so many people on the staffs of those presidents didn't reveal it to the public.
All right.
That's just one of the things, but go ahead.
Well, Bruce is an authority on foreign policy, and we're going to get his take on the Trump doctrine. But before we get there, do you see this probe of the president, the current president, ending well, or is this going to scar or perhaps make the president incapable of continuing?
I have no idea. I'm no prophet. I can certainly see them using every device that they used during the Nixon administration against Trump.
Now, in the campaign, I know you were not a big supporter of Donald Trump. You spoke with great concern about his candidacy and perhaps his presidency. Have you changed your opinion at all?
When you say change your opinion, I don't have any change of opinion of how he acted during the primaries, so much so that I voted for a write-in candidate. However, I have to say that most policies, particularly those regarding foreign policy and the bureaucracy, have been terrific. I support him all the way in those policies, and I'm very pleasantly surprised, and it does surprise me.
The NATO nations in Europe today have announced that they are going to increase defense spending by 4.3%, and the president, as a good politician would do, is taking credit for that.
He deserves it.
Well, we'll talk with Bruce Hershenson about this. If you'd like to join the conversation, Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, finding, quote, his role undercut by the Oval Office. Do you have concern that the president is not allowing this man he hired to be his spokesman across the globe to do his job?
No, I'm not concerned about that at all. The president is the president. If he doesn't like the work of those people he appointed, he should override them. That's not the way our system works, all the way to saying goodbye to the appointee. This is not uncommon. In fact, it's quite common. It's quite common that the president begins an administration with what he calls cabinet orientation. President just had his first cabinet meeting. My belief is that he isn't going to have very many more. They hardly ever do, because the cabinet itself is much more in time, much more loyal to the bureaucracy than it is to the president who gave them the job in the first place. It's just the way it is. If you want loyal people, you appoint them to the White House staff, but not to the cabinet. They have their own little big worlds, not little worlds, that are generally miles away from the White House. But if you're a White House staff, you're there every day with the president, mm-hmm. if you have that kind of a staff job.
That was an unusual cabinet meeting with all the members praising the president. Nixon never did that, did he?
Yeah, he did, but very rarely, and only at the beginning of the administration, like they all do. But I'll just say the fun is just one line. Ronald Reagan said to his cabinet, he said, look, I don't care what time of night it is or what it is, if there's an emergency, I want to be woken up, even if I'm in a cabinet meeting.
Yeah.
It's just terrific, and it said so much.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Bruce Hershenson.
Yes. When Barry Goldwater and other GOP senators went to the Oval Office to tell Nixon he had to resign, was that because the tape showed Nixon had violated the Constitution by obstructing justice, or because Goldwater and them they feared negative media coverage?
All right.
Okay. I was a great fan of Goldwater in 1964. I was not a great fan of his in 1975, and that's just the way that it is. The habit of going against a president who was one of the only people who was good to you during your election, or what you hoped would have been your election in 1964. And there were two people of any prominence who were for Goldwater, and that was Richard Nixon, and it was Ronald Reagan. They were for him. Boy, you go to Scranton, or you go to any of the Rockefeller, almost any of the big names of that period, and they were against him. Easy to do, you know, I understand that. I'm not saying, gee, you were terrible, but by God, don't be against the guy when he's in trouble. And he made the presidency, and he was, in my opinion, the greatest president on foreign policy that we have ever had, a genius of foreign policy.
The Supreme Court is allowing President Trump to forge ahead with a limited version of his ban on travel from six mostly Muslim countries to the U.S. So, your thoughts about the decision of this week?
It's about time, and I hope it isn't temporary. I hope that in October they meet and they say, of course. Because the law is the Constitution, totally on their side. Just so that I don't make a long speech and quote what I'm talking about, I'm just going to give the name of it. Look it up on Google or whatever you use. It's really worth it, and you'll see that is the law and has been since 1936. This is the name, and just put the name in there and read it. United States versus Curtis Wright Export Corporation. It was 1936, so we're talking about something that's a little over 80 years now, which certainly means settled law. It gives the president absolute authority, not the Congress, to wage war. That's the authority of the commander-in-chief, only one person, the president. And as a matter of fact, he has no requirement to even tell the Congress what he's doing. Many presidents, recently contemporary ones, really didn't know it even when they ran for president. They found out that on domestic things, everything required the okay of the Congress. But when it came to foreign policy, they just did it. The most glaring one who knew about Curtis Wright Export Corporation, the most obvious one was President Clinton. God, he was having terrible luck with domestic policies, including health care, what used to be called Hillary Care. But he found out it was foreign policy. He could do anything he wanted, and he did. He sent troops to Bosnia, to Kosovo. He sent the Navy to Haiti, bombed Saddam Hussein's Iraq 2 days and nights. I remember on Kosovo, he was wasn't bragging, but he was saying, I think with a slight smile, although I didn't see him, but it just seemed that way by his voice, there wasn't one congressman who was even told we were going into Kosovo. but he can do it. And if you read this over 80 year ago decision of the Supreme Court that was never overturned, it gives you the power of the president in foreign policy. And they didn't use the term foreign policy as much in those days. They called it the external realm, in contrast to the internal realm, which is domestic.
Bruce Hutchinson, it's always good to talk with you. Thanks for getting up early in California this morning.
No problem. I enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Bruce Hutchinson.
Thank you.